Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me today in the studio is Chris.
Hello.
Hamilton. Hello, hello, hello. The producer, Pat Hamilton. He's joining us. He's joining us.
Yes, we are here.
We are here. Here to encourage you. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light of the world. Yes, yes, yes. That's VFN Radio Loud this morning. Thank you, Pat. Oh my goodness, we have so much to share with you today. We're going to be talking about it. Syria. Is Syria the tipping point? We have so much to talk about. It's happening. It's happening. Well, let's talk about it. Guys, it is so good to see you today, especially you, Chris.
Yes.
It's so good to see you today.
You're happy to see me?
I don't know. I'm always happy to see him. I'm always happy to see him. Well, guys, you know that we've been praying for Israel. We've been praying for what's going on in the Middle East. And if you're just joining in the VFN Radio, we want to encourage you to... we're hearing reports every day. People are connecting with us from all over the country, really all over the world. We're grateful for your partnership and joining this conversation and what you're doing to join with us to continue to spread the light, to share the light, to encourage others, and to, as we try to get a biblical perspective of what is happening around the world. Well, we've talked plenty about Israel, what's happening in Syria, and there are developments that are occurring moment by moment. As we've been saying, you need to prepare yourself. You need to prepare yourself because what is coming on the horizon is going to be very different. We are seeing some very serious things happening, things that are happening. And right now in Syria, you know they've been locked down in a civil war.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right now there is about 90,000 people that have been killed in this war. And it's serious. Mm-hmm. It's serious because you have Syria and President Bashar Assad, who's being backed by Russia,
Oh, wow.
And Iran, okay? And then, of course, they're fighting the rebels, which is really the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And our president has long been backing the Muslim Brotherhood. And we saw this in Egypt. If you missed this, we've talked about this on VFN Radio, that the first international speech, as President of the United States, the president goes to Cairo, Egypt, to speak at the university. The president at the time, who was president of Egypt, Mubarak, doesn't even show up because the president of the United States invites the Muslim Brotherhood, who wasn't even supposed to be there,
mm-hmm.
he invites the Muslim Brotherhood to his speech.
Mm-hmm.
And says that it is his job description, basically.
As our president.
Mm-hmm. To defend, now I'm paraphrasing here, but the perception of Islam around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, your job is to defend the Constitution of the United States. Since then, Egypt has flipped.
Mm-hmm.
Mubarak is no longer the president. The Muslim Brotherhood is now in control, and they have elected Mursi as their president, who is Muslim Brotherhood,
mm-hmm.
and he has instituted himself as the king. They suspended the constitution there, and he's the man in charge now.
Right.
Now, understand that Egypt has a long stretch border with Israel,
mm-hmm.
and this border has had peace and safety for over 40 years. Well, we're looking at a situation that jeopardizes all of that right now. This is a serious thing. This is a serious thing that's happening. And it's our president that's actually empowered the Muslim Brotherhood and is supporting the Muslim Brotherhood and these rebel fighters against Syria. And so right now, the president is actually signed into law. We're going to talk about that in a minute because I do want to say something else. Russia and Iran, and now Hezbollah has been supporting Assad, okay, in the Syrian regime. And they've been supporting them because Russia is interested in that oil. They got to have the oil.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have the oil.
Right.
And you have Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. These guys are like not friendly to who? Israel. This right. is not a good alliance there. And then you have on the other side, you have the United States, who supported the Muslim Brotherhood. And just yesterday, our president authorizes, he says, this is what he says, the red line has been crossed. The red line has been crossed and says now
mm-hmm.
that President Assad has used chemical weapons. And reportedly, allegedly, 150 people have been killed with these chemical weapons. Now, did he just like now get this revelation? Now, he's on record saying on April 30th,
mm-hmm.
saying that there's a red line. If that red line is crossed, if mm-hmm. we find out that that's indeed what happened,
mm-hmm.
that he's used these chemical weapons, then we would have to consider all options.
Right.
So within the last 60 days, all of a sudden, we have gotten conclusive evidence. This is what they're reporting. And what's interesting about that is that now he is pledging support now to the rebel forces, all sorts of aid now, and they've been helping him some.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're talking about ammunition, you're talking about all sorts of other support, because here's the deal. It appears that he was just waiting on the sidelines, waiting to see what was going to happen and allow them to win on their own.
Mm-hmm.
These are the rebels. And now that it seems that the rebels have suffered some really serious losses, now all of a sudden it seems all of a sudden in the midst of what appears to be all sorts of things happening in our own country, now, all of a sudden, the red line has been crossed.
All right, now it comes out.
Now we have to do something about this. And so as a result, this is pretty serious because now we know that Russia has been sending and is getting prepared now and has already sent these anti-aircraft over to Syria. Now Israel's saying, listen, if these missiles get over there, we're not going to be able to protect our airspace.
Mm-hmm.
And so Israel is saying that if those missiles come on over there, we find them, we're going to have to do something about that. Take them out, electronic jammer, but we're going to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Assad is saying that if Israel does anything in Syria, they're going to have to pay for it. Russia has said the same thing. Now think about this. You have these anti-aircraft missiles that are going to Syria.
Mm.
Israel has to be protected. Both of these, the rebels and, by the way, the rebels and Syria, Assad, have both said that they want to make sure that Israel does not exist.
Right.
So they're fighting each other in this civil war, but they are united against Israel. I mean, you got to understand what's happening here. Israel's completely surrounded by its enemies. I mean, you have Iraq to the right, Syria to the north, Egypt to the left, and a host of other countries that would love to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth, not to mention Iran,
mm-hmm.
who's already said that their president has already said that the Holocaust didn't even exist.
Right.
It was a lie. I mean, think about that. Think about what we're seeing. Think about what's happening. And think about at this moment, at this moment in time. Listen, Syria could definitely well be the tipping point. This could be the tipping point that really brings us into a World War III situation. Russia's not going to go away. They got to have that oil. You have Iran. You have Hezbollah, who is supporting Assad. Hezbollah's a terrorist organization that hates Israel. Mm-hmm. And what Israel's concerned about is that those chemical weapons that everyone knows that Assad has is going to get into the hands of their enemies, and they're going to be used against Israel. So what is Israel to do? Where is Israel in all of this? And where's the United States? Think about this. You have a president who has already suggested that Israel go back to 1967 border lines.
Right.
But listen, don't take our word for it. We want you to listen and hear for yourself.
The United States believes that negotiations should result in two states with permanent Palestinian borders with Israel, Jordan, and Egypt, and permanent Israeli borders with Palestine. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
If they go back to a 1967 border lines, what you're saying, let's go back to the place where Israel is not able to defend itself. Understand this. What is your suggestion here? You understand that this is not good. Mm-hmm. This is the president of the United States. And listen, in recent history, I don't know of another president that hasn't been, what can I say, hasn't been this supportive
right.
of Israel. We need to stand with the apple of God's eye. You have both of these fighters. You have the rebels, the Muslim Brotherhood. You have Syria, who are fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And they both have said that they both want to wipe out Israel once this war is over. And you have Syria, who shares a border, the northern border, that Golan Heights area, mm-hmm. with Israel. If Israel loses and goes back to the 1967 border lines, they're going to be completely indefensible.
That's right.
So what are we doing? Are we setting Israel up as a nation? Do we really want to go there? I mean, this is a serious, serious situation. The thing about it is that, look, we're going to play a segment for you. And Austria right now, on the Golan Heights, they're getting ready to pull out their UN troops. Listen to this.
Israel's border with Syria is getting more tense. Austria began withdrawing its nearly 400 UN peacekeepers today from the Syrian border. This leaves just more than 500 peacekeepers of the UN force that has monitored the Golan since 1974. Last week, Syrian rebels overran a crossing point, and fighting from the Syrian civil war threatened the UN positions. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this week, the Austrian withdrawal shows Israel can only rely on itself for its security.
That's right. Israel can only rely on itself. Think about it. That Golan Heights, I've been to Israel. I've mm-hmm. been to the Golan Heights. You can, from the Golan, you can look right into the middle of Israel.
Yeah.
And if they took that position over again, we already know that their civil war has been spilling on right over there.
Right.
And so what is Israel supposed to do? Sit as just a lame duck waiting, right. Oh, by the way, we'll let y'all finish fighting right. each other. And, right. Right. and the victor of y'all are just going to come on over here and, mm-hmm. and come wipe us out. Is that what we're supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, while anti-craft missiles are being sent from Russia, meanwhile, Iran is supporting Syria, Hezbollah is supporting Syria, and you see that this radical Muslim Brotherhood, they want a caliphate. They actually believe in their theology that their Messiah is going to come in great chaos, but they create the chaos.
Yeah.
They create the chaos. They want to see a caliphate, a global world domination, and it's all about toppling over right now. You're seeing tremendous, tremendous unrest, and this could be very well the beginning, because Syria is like one of them sets in the dominoes. When Syria really becomes to fall, this is a big, big, big deal there in the Middle East. When right. you're going to see a rippling occurring. And the question is, where does America stand with Israel? Where does America stand in the Middle East? And why? Why would we want to support the Muslim Brotherhood? What the agenda here? This is very important. We're going to show you why Israel must maintain the 1967 border lines. I mean, not go back to the 1967 border lines to maintain their safety. Israel is completely surrounded by its enemies. And if they don't have, they don't stay in place, the border lines now, they're at great risk. Mm-hmm. We're going to let you listen to a few words here. And we're going to make sure that this is available for you to see in detail in the torch. But it's probably one of the best videos, and you're going to hear this on audio, that probably I've ever seen that explains perfectly why Israel must maintain the border lines that they have now.
Every state has the right of self-defense and to secure borders to protect itself from hostile invasions and terror. Israel is a small state surrounded by Arab countries 650 times its size, some of which are large bases of global terror. Only 44 miles separate between the Jordan Valley and the Mediterranean Sea. After the Six-Day War in 1967, when Israel was attacked by four armies on three fronts, United Nations Security Council Resolution 242 stated that Israel was entitled to new defensible borders to replace the previous fragile lines from which it was attacked. What are Israel's defensible borders? What are its essential security needs? The Jordan Rift Valley, Israel's eastern frontier, forms a natural barrier between Israel and the countries of Jordan, Iraq, and Iran. The Jordan Valley rises from an area that is 1,200 feet below sea level to a hilly ridge of up to 3,000 feet, creating a steep 4,200-foot virtual wall opposite any force attacking from the east. The growing threat of global jihad activity near Israel's borders requires it to prevent infiltrations of terrorists and weapons. When Israel left the Philadelphia corridor in Gaza, it became a highway for the infiltration of terrorists and the flow of hundreds of tons of ammunition and weaponry from all over the Arab world, aimed at Israeli civilians. The Jordan Valley is the equivalent of Gaza's Philadelphia corridor in the West Bank. To defend itself, Israel must retain control over the Jordan Valley. This is Israel's mountain ridge, rising up to 3,000 feet. It dominates Israel's major coastal cities, where more than 70% of its population, 80% of its industry, and all of its airfields and seaports are located. Missiles launched from the Judean hills pose an immediate threat to Jerusalem, Israel's capital. Israel's only international airport, Ben-Gurion, would be in the range of even primitive rockets, while all planes taking off and landing would be threatened by shoulder-launched anti-aircraft missiles. More advanced weaponry would be able to hit virtually any point in Israel. If Israel were forced back to the 1949 armistice lines, the Green Line, the country's width would be reduced to a narrow 9-mile waistline that would be impossible to defend. That's why any future arrangement must include Israeli control over key areas of the mountain ridge and a demilitarized Palestinian state. Israel's narrow borders means a combat aircraft can cross the entire country in under 4 minutes. In less than 2 minutes, an enemy plane could penetrate the country's airspace via the Jordan Valley and reach Jerusalem. In order to thwart an aerial attack on Jerusalem, a hostile plane must be shot down at least 10 miles east of the capital to prevent it from crashing into major population centers. Therefore, Israel must be able to identify hostile planes before they cross the Jordan River line and intercept them shortly after. To defend itself, Israel must control the airspace over the West Bank. Israel's transportation arteries, and in particular the Trans-Israel Highway, enable travel and connection between Israel's regions. They also assure the mobility of the Israel Defense Forces in case of attack. Protection of these vital arteries is essential in order to ensure that 1. Civilians aren't victims of terrorist gunfire. 2. Regions of the country cannot easily be cut off. 3. The mobility of Israel's defense forces is not hindered in the case of invasion. To defend itself, Israel must control its main arteries of transportation. There is enormous uncertainty about future trends in the Middle East. Iran is determined to become the supreme power as the U.S. withdraws from Iraq. No one can guarantee the future of many of the current regimes in the region. Today, more than ever, it is crucial to ensure defensible borders for Israel.
This is so important. When we get back from the break, we're going to continue to talk about why this is important. What are we going to do with Israel? How are we going to support them?
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I want to know if a store can make me work on a Sunday and a Wednesday night knowing that I got to go to church, and they knew this when they hired me.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at a situation like this, they're supposed to accommodate your sincerely held religious belief. That means if someone else is available to work that Sunday shift or that Wednesday night, they're supposed to accommodate your sincerely held religious beliefs. Most companies will do it once. Sometimes they're confused about what their obligations are. But let me also take it a step further. We've got great resources on the ACLJ website that answers these questions that you could give to your employer because you can download them right from the Internet. So we encourage you to go to ACLJ.org.
Learn more about our work and receive timely updates on the most critical issues facing our country today by visiting us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, when you think about it, there are so many people who talk about God. I mean, it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. Mm. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's and right. He's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. If you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I mean, I'm just, you know, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me back from the break is Pat and Chris. And we're talking about how Syria right now is a cup of trembling. The Middle East, things have escalated. As of yesterday, the president has authorized now aid to the rebels in the form of weapons. He says the red line has been drawn, and he's been saying that if Syria, if they find out that Syria has indeed used chemical weapons in this civil war, that would be the red line that needed to be crossed, and that the United States will have to examine the courses that they will take in response to that. And they've been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in this now. The president's been supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, and now the red line has been drawn, and now you're looking at weaponry, you're looking at ammunition, you're looking at an escalated involvement. Meanwhile, on the other side, you're looking at Russia, who is supporting Assad and Syria's regime with 300 anti-aircraft missiles that are coming into Syria. Mm. And they're potentially saying that they're going to be put in densely populated areas. Mm-hmm. So now if Israel comes to strike and take those out, you're looking at maybe civilian loss. You're looking at something that's not going to look good. You have Syria as president who's saying that, listen, they may be interested in once this is all over, that they're interested in going after Israel. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the people who they're fighting against, the rebels, the Islamists, mm-hmm. are saying that they want to take Israel out too. I mean, enemies of the enemies,
right.
are united against one thing, and that's the destruction of Israel. And some, they're saying, some of these rebel groups fighting in Bashar's Assad's government, okay, have links to al-Qaeda. Mm. And it's like, come on now. I mean, really, now? Now, do we really want to do this now?
Right.
And Israel's concerned is that, one, should they sit there as a lame duck waiting for their victor, the victor of this war, to come and attack them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And secondly, you have chemical weapons that Assad has had, and if those weapons get into the wrong hands, Israel's enemies will be used against Israel. This is not good. This is not good. Then you have the president who's supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, comes to Israel. First time since he was elected president.
Mm-hmm. In his second term.
In his second term. And the question was, like, why now? Why not? Didn't come while you were running.
Mm-hmm.
He came when he ran, when he was running the first time as a candidate, as senator. Didn't come in his first term, but comes now. And when he comes, he denies an invitation to speak at the Knesset. Denies an invitation to speak at the Knesset. I mean, and then decides to speak at a college. He speaks at a college. That's like a prime minister or a president of another a country comes to the United States,
mm-hmm.
and says, oh, "No, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to turn down the U.S. Congress. I'm not going to speak
right.
to the U.S. government. I want to go speak at the College of Milwaukee. I want to speak to the students. Why do you want to speak to our youth? Why do you want to come here to speak to our youth? Why does the president want to go to Israel and speak to the youth of Israel?" So he starts off the speech in the first 30, 40-minute speech, and we have this, mm-hmm. we have this on the torch. I believe it's called President Obama Sets Up Israel with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
In the first 30, 40 minutes, it's everything that you would hope mm-hmm. that the U.S. president would say about Israel. All I mean, right. It was glowing.
Sounded great.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It was, oh my goodness, yes, yes. And then the last half of the speech was dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, listen, you are the newer generation. You got to do things differently. And it was all designed, and you can hear it for yourself, all designed to do the community organizing, to stir the pot, if you will, and basically encourage them. It's like, wait a minute, you've come over here to this country to stir the youth up against the established government that's there now? What is this all about? What is it all about? I mean, it's a strategy. It's a plan. This is a plan. And you got to realize what is happening. It's going to be very serious. Some are saying this could be the tipping point. It could lead to World War III, and it's going to have so many serious implications. It's going to have implications in the economy, no doubt. It's going to have implications here on American soil. And the thing about it is, like, what is the Christian to do? Well, you're going to need to prepare yourself. You're going to need to prepare for what's coming on the horizon. Mm-hmm. You got to be informed so that you can know what to do. You got to know that you need to pray. You need to be involved in this. And it's this, you know, we need to stay humble. We need to stay low. We need to be prayerful for Israel. But you're going to need to brace yourself, because what is coming on the horizon? And we're going to play for you in the extra hour. You don't want to miss the extra hour. We want to revisit. Brace yourself. It is coming. And what we talk about that is building a sure foundation on Jesus. Because what can be shaken will be shaken. Every time you see America throughout history that hasn't stood with Israel, you have seen the United States face ramifications as a result mm-hmm. of it. I mean, you can go on and on. It's just a series of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we have those documented.
It's documented, yeah.
We need to make sure that we can make that available. But every single time that America has not stand with Israel, has thrown Israel on the bus, if you will, under the bus, America has seen something happen, whether it be a catastrophe and a storm,
mm-hmm.
you name it. But something has happened. And we want to brace ourselves when we go around poking our finger in the apple of God's eye, when we don't support God's people, when we don't support the only ally that we have in the Middle East, when our only ally is surrounded by their enemies. I mean, I've been to Israel. It's like, it is so small. When they were talking about having borders to defend themselves, they're saying that a plane can cross Israel in less than 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
A fighter plane, 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And that they could actually attack Israel only 2 minutes into that travel. That makes them highly vulnerable.
Very.
Highly vulnerable. And what Israel needs right now is the United States to be supportive of Israel, to be behind Israel, not exposing them, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you that you need to brace yourself, you need to be prepared, you need to be prayerful, and you need to be alert. We are living in a season right now and in a time right now that things are happening rapidly. There was a period in time where it took such a long time for things to manifest. It took a long time. You saw the beginning of it, but it took a while before these two areas connected the dots. But now we're seeing a convergence everywhere. All things are coming together, and it's like it's happening so quickly. What you don't want to do is use yesterday's mindset for what's happening today. You need to upgrade your thinking. You need to be alert on the front lines, because before you know it, things are going to change. We know that things are going to change in the economy. God's already showed us. God spoke to us prophetically in 6 minutes, meaning rapidly, not a literal 6 minutes, but rapidly, that the economy is going to go down.
Mm.
You're going to see all sorts of unrest in the United States, civil unrest. And we need to know, as the salt of the earth, as believers, what we're to do. We certainly don't want to panic. Amos tells us that God shares his secrets with his friends. I mean, God has allowed us to know some of the things, and others to know some of the things that are going to be happening on the face of this earth. And we could either do a couple of things. We could either put our fingers in our ears, or put our hands over our eyes and make pretend that it's not going to happen, or this is not going to happen in my generation. Or we can receive these words in humility.
Mm-hmm.
In humility, take them seriously and begin to evaluate. Begin to pray. Begin to do what we need to do as believers to fulfill the Great Commission. Listen, we talked about a segment not too long ago that no preacher is coming. The whole church is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And the work of the ministry is not about the one-man show and the one. This is about the whole church being involved and activated. And it's time to be the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to fulfill what God has told us to do in the Great Commission. It's time to reach the harvest and to be at work with the Father's business.
Right.
But if you're lulled asleep, if you're sitting in the lazy boy, if you're totally consumed with entertainment and everything that's going on in the face of the world, and you have no idea that we're on the precipice of something that's not good, you're going to miss it. You're going to be shocked. You're going to panic, and you're going to be unprepared. And then what? Well, you're hearing it now. You can take heed now. You can pray about it now. You can hear God on what your involvement needs to be. But you don't want to miss the extra hour, because in the extra hour, we're going to talk about brace yourself. It's a prophetic word that's going to help you to kind of connect the dots for yourself and to get a deeper perspective of what we're living in. We must stand with Israel. We must be supportive of Israel. When we look at the connection between the United States and Israel, when we look at that, we have Judeo-Christian values that have forged the bond between Israelis and American. I mean, this is a segment that we were able to do here on VFN Radio, and you definitely want to see that on the torch. But we have a long history. I mean, when Israel was recognized as a state,
mm-hmm.
it was 11 minutes when President Harry Truman, with the full force of the United States behind him, confirmed and congratulated Israel and recognized Israel as a state. We have a long, long history. And what needs to happen is for us to continue not to forget our roots. I mean, when you think about Chaim Solomon,
mm-hmm.
from the very beginning, gave funds and resources to George Washington, at a time that George Washington needed the money for his troops.
All right.
And we honored Israel. Look at the back of your dollar bill and you can see the Star of David. You can see the Star in the back of your dollar bill. And we honored Israel. We wanted to recognize them for what they did back then, from the beginning of the founding of this nation. We have to keep our attention and focus on the safety and the posterity of Israel. We're living in crucial times. We're living in an hour that things are shifting as we speak. And we want to make sure that we don't miss it. We want to make sure that we're not sleeping. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to support those that are standing with Israel. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Support organizations like CUFI, Christians United for Israel. We support Duget Ministry in Tel Aviv. But this is the time for Israel to turn their hearts back to God, for them to receive the Messiah, and for them to call out on the name of the Lord. Listen, they are going to be pressed on every side, and they're not going to take the sitting back. They will respond. They will take action. One thing you can bank on, mm-hmm. Israel will not sit. They will not sit and see them being taken out. They will take action, and once they take action, once they do one thing to defend themselves, I'm telling you, their enemies are going to rush those borders. But we can be prayerful. We can stand with them. I'm telling you, brace yourself, be prepared, be prayerful, because the hour is close.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read His Word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But
Lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The churches across the world, every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you, if God's calling you to relate to us as Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day. We're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Where is it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
I did too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes, type in VFN TV, and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about, you got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We're just talking about how Syria right now is the tipping point. In the Middle East, 90,000 people have been killed. The President Obama has said that his red line has been drawn. That indeed they have conclusive evidence that Assad has been using chemical weapons, and they're reporting that allegedly 150 people have died as a result of these chemical weapons of the 90,000. Mm-hmm. And because of that, you know, the United States was supporting the rebels, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, with aid, medical supplies, rations. Now they're going to be supported with weaponry. And this is a huge escalation because Russia on the other side is supporting and Iran and Hezbollah, Syria, but Russia in particular is supporting Iran with anti-aircraft missiles, which brings in Israel. And Israel's saying, listen, we're going to protect our airspace.
Exactly.
We're going to protect our airspace. And you have these enemies. It's bad when your enemies hate you. I mean, they hate each other, but they're united against you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's what we're seeing in the Middle East? I'm telling you that this is a time that you want to be prayerful. You don't want to fall asleep, and you don't want to panic when everything hits. But you want to be ready, and you want to be right with God, and you want to know what the will of the Lord is. We talked about that yesterday on VFN Radio, searching out God's will. You want to know what God's perfect, pleasing will is? Well, you got to spend time with the Lord. You got to be with Him to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
In the extra hour, we're going to have a fantastic segment for you. We're going to revisit Brace Yourself. And this is going to help you to have a key component on what you're going to need to do to prepare yourself as things escalate and move forward. Listen, things are happening at a rapid pace. And the old saying is true. If you snooze, you lose. If you're not aware of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
You're left. You got to know what's going on. And most importantly, you got to know what God is saying about what's going on. We can pray for Israel. You know, guys, I was thinking about this, that of all the decisions that we have to make,
mm-hmm.
and think about all the decisions you make in your life. I mean, every day you have countless decisions.
Oh, yeah.
And your decisions have not only, you know, ramifications for yourself, but they have, you know, they affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing that everyone has an opportunity to make, you know, a decision, you know.
Good or bad.
You know, you have choices in life, and how you, you know, what choice you choose and what decision you make affects your life. It's just a plain fact.
Mm-hmm.
But of all the decisions you have to make, the three most important decisions that you make in your life, did you know that they all start with the letter C?
Mm-hmm.
The three most important decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
One of those important decisions is your career. I mean, you are educated from the time of grade school all the way into high school. That's 12 some odd years of education.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go on to get a technical certification or an apprenticeship, that's a few more years. If you decide to go to college, you have another 4 more years. If you go to graduate school, another 2 years, you get a doctorate, another couple more years, or a JD to be an attorney. I mean, you have years and years and years of education. Thousands upon thousands of dollars poured into learning, all for what? So that you, at one point in your life, as you're developing and growing, you can become a productive person in society, and you can learn a trade, you can learn something so that you can, one, be productive in society, but two, so that you can sustain yourself, so that you can sustain your family, in whatever quality of life that you're trying to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you decide to do as a career is important. And my concern when I see young people is that sometimes there's a concern of just, I'll just do anything. Well, you know, if you don't prepare for something, it's not so important what you do, but that you find something to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? You find something to do. It doesn't matter what you do,
yeah.
But you got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not preparing to do something in whatever form of education or whatever plan that you have, that's not going to be good for you. And we have a society that's just like, hey, don't want a career, don't want a job, don't. Listen, you got to do something. You know what I mean? Well, you got to be employable.
Mm.
There's something about hard work. There's something about getting a job. There's something about getting up every morning to take care of responsibilities that helps you develop as a person, as a man, as a woman. You know, they often say that when people retire and they stop working, if they don't have a plan,
mm-hmm.
they just quickly fade away.
Mm-hmm.
You were designed and created to work,
yeah,
to be fruitful. Not just hang around and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm concerned that you see people just hanging around. They're more interested in having a good time than in putting in the effort, the labor, what it takes to get in there and work. And if you're a young person listening to us, we have a lot of young people listening to us on VFN Radio. You want to start thinking about those things now. It's not about what you do, but that you do something. And if you're working today, you can take your career and your work. It's not about, you know, your career is not your purpose. It's the place that you fulfill your purpose. It's the place that you glorify God. You got to understand, you got to settle that thing in your career, because it's going to take, you know, 40 to 50 hours of your week. You spend, you know, sometimes more time with the people that you work with than you do with your actual family. So it's not an insignificant thing, but you have to embrace the right mindset before God in terms of your career and what you'll be doing every day in terms of work to support your family. Mm-hmm. You have to have the right perspective. It's very important. It's 40 to 50 hours out of your week every single day.
That's right.
Do something lest you do nothing. Be fruitful and glorify God in it, no matter what it is. The second important decision that you'll make in your life has to do with choosing your companion. I had a sign given to me one time ago, a list of when I came out of school or college or something or other. Someone gave me, you know, they give you all these graduation plaques and just, you know, different mm-hmm. motivational stuff, and had about 20-some-odd things for success or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of those things on that list was marry the right person. It'll determine 90% of your happiness or 90% of your misery.
Oh, gosh. You know?
and you think about companion. You think about the choice of a husband or a wife. This is not a decision that you want to join in flippantly or, mm-hmm. or, you know, a lot of times people fall in love with the package, but what they really marry is the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a young person and you're wanting to have a nice marriage or be married to someone, I would encourage you to take the wisdom and advice of your parents. I mean, I think they could help you out in this
area. Yeah, they might have a little wisdom.
A little wisdom that could help you out. But even if you're an adult, listen, with 50% of all marriages ending in divorce, this is an important decision. This is an important decision, one that you should be very mindful about getting in, and you need God to help you. So much about marriage these days has been about, you know, people fulfilling their wants and their desires, but they don't have the biblical perspective of what a marriage is all about. Mm. Listen, if you don't get the companionship thing right, you're going to mess it up. It's even not about being married. You don't have to be married.
Mm-mm.
Because marriage is not the answer.
It's like oatmeal.
That's it.
Right.
If you want it, don't want it. If you like it, don't like it. I mean, marriage is not the answer.
All right.
And we've lifted in our society marriage to a whole new level. But if you're going to do it, you need to do it right. Because it affects.
Mm-hmm.
It has some implications here. So marrying the right person for the right reason, in the right way, makes all the difference in the world. And listen, if God's not in it, if God's not blessing it, how could it turn out good? I mean, how can it turn out good? You want God in this decision. And your last decision that you have to make in your life, it's your most important decision, is what to do with this man, Jesus Christ. You got to do something. You have to come to a point where you either accept him or you reject him. But if you don't accept him, you are rejecting him. A decision not to choose Jesus is a decision. A decision not to accept him is a decision not to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
You've already decided. I want to encourage you today, make that decision right. Listen, you want to know like you know, like you know, like the sky's blue and the grass is green, that you've settled your place with God, that you're in right relationship with God, and that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Life is but a vapor. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Why live another second? People have been reaching out to you. God's been reaching out to you. He's been showing you his love. Don't reject them. Genesis tells us that God's Spirit will not always contend with man. There is a season, there's a window of opportunity that you can receive him. But once that door is closed and shut and it's over for you, it's it. Many people say that when they get to heaven, oh, I'll ask for forgiveness and mercy. Listen, that it's all done and said. It's done. The decision you have to make for Jesus Christ is today while you can. Choose him. Be the best decision of your life.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
Facebook page.
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you too to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch, I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network, and like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.